What's going on, friends? Welcome back to another edition of the Locked On Panthers podcast. Billy Rossetti with you guys here. Continuing rolling through this week as we are now in the month of July. Can you believe it? We can finally say now that this month, sports are, at least on the American side, sports are back, because July means baseball is back in about 3 weeks. The NBA is back at the end of the month. The NHL, hopefully at the end of the month, maybe early next month. And we expect that training camps will be started up as well at the end of the month. But we got a little bit of news that I want to touch on here. You know, affects the whole league, obviously. So we'll kind of focus a little bit on the Panthers with this news. And that is the news that and it's something that we had been expecting for a while. We've touched on this, and it's expected to become official today on Thursday, and that is that the NFL will cut the preseason in half. The expectation, at least from the report from Pro Football Talk, was that weeks 1 and 4 would be cut from the preseason. So a little different than what I expected. I thought they would slash the first 2 weeks of the preseason and leave the last 2 weeks, but they're going to take it from both ends, which I can understand that too, because that means now it gives each team, it'll give them about 3 weeks now, a little over 3 weeks from the time they get to training camp to the time they actually have their first preseason game. We knew that they at least needed that extended time, because as we know, these teams haven't even touched the field yet. You know, everything has been online or through Zoom. Yeah, obviously players have been working out on their own on the field. Like, we saw that video floating around of Russell Wilson working out with Antonio Brown, but as far as a team setting, obviously they haven't been on the field like that. So especially teams like the Panthers with new coaches, new rosters, things like that, you need that practice time to just build some camaraderie. So that extra time now between the start of training camp and the first preseason game, which for now would be at the Patriots, but because of, you know, of course, the way these original schedules were set up and the weeks that are being slashed, like the Panthers, for example, that would leave them with 2 road games. You know, cutting weeks 1 and 4 means that some teams are left with 2 road games, some teams are left with 2 home games. Obviously, the league doesn't want that. The expectation as well is that they're going to adjust the schedule so that every team is 1 home, 1 away. Because obviously, it wouldn't be fair for some teams to not have to travel at all, where versus some teams having to travel twice. And you know, these teams also, the league also wants to make sure that every stadium is ready for actual regular season games when we get to that point. Make sure, you know, they can test everybody, make sure the field's safe, everything is in good enough shape that they can actually have these games. So the expectation is that they're going to play 1 home and 1 away game, and the NFL and the NFLPA is having a conference call to discuss the preseason, because there's even reports now saying that the Players Association might not even be for 2 preseason games. In fact, if you follow Twitter, or if you guys saw on Twitter, Adam Schefter, of course, tweeted about the preseason being cut in half, and then Brandon McManus, the kicker for the Denver Broncos, retweeted him with a comment saying he doesn't even think it's going to be 2. He's saying, you know, be ready, and it sounds like the players are going to fight for just 1 preseason game, if not any preseason games. So this is going to be an interesting battle regarding how many preseason games. I think the one thing we can safely say, this was probably, or I should say last year, was probably the last 4-game preseason we will ever see in the NFL. I think this basically, you know, obviously this is due to the coronavirus, but remember, we're also soon to usher in an era, whether it's 21 or 22, I think probably more likely 22, but possibly in 21. But as we know, we're soon going into an era where there's going to be a 17-game regular season, and the NFL has the ability to shorten the preseason because of that, and I think we can safely assume that they are going to do that. Whether they cut just one preseason game, make it a 3-game preseason, or even a 2-game preseason, but the days of a 4-game preseason, I think, are officially in the book. So now, again, how they're going to alter the schedule is going to be interesting. Are they just going to let the teams keep who they're going to play in weeks 2 and 3 and just switch venues if need be? So, for example, the Panthers now are left with games against the Patriots and the Ravens. So at least that means they'll probably still get to see Cam Newton in the preseason. But they're left right now with games against the Patriots and the Ravens. Are they going to take one of those games and move it to Charlotte? Because, again, the two games that are, you know, being cut right now, if we're cutting weeks 1 and 4, were the two home games for the Panthers in the preseason. That was against the Jaguars and the Steelers. So are they going to just switch one of the currently scheduled games to Charlotte? Are they going to cut one of those and move one of weeks 1 or 4 and have them play that instead? I'll be curious how they move around this preseason schedule, you know, with only a little over a month in advance. Because, you know, I'm sure, too, teams now have to obviously adjust travel arrangements, hotel arrangements, things like that. But, it'll be certainly interesting to track when it actually comes out. Again, not just where the games are going to be played and who they play, but if they're even going to play 2 preseason games. You know, are the players going to fight for less preseason games if they play preseason games at all? Could we have a season now where there's 0 preseason games and you just go right to the regular, you basically just have an extended training camp? Because at that point, that's what we're looking for. Because I think they've already also done away with joint practices, which, you know, is also understandable. You know, you want to try to limit groups as much as possible like this, so no joint practices was kind of a no-brainer. So that's, as far as the Panthers go with a situation like that, like, obviously that's going to hurt them a bit because, I mean, again, you're talking a brand new coaching staff and basically a whole new roster. I mean, you've got a new quarterback. Now, again, the advantage that Teddy Bridgewater has is he's worked with Joe Brady before when they were both with the Saints. So they have that little bit of advantage. But again, it's not just knowing the offense. It's the fact, of course, that these are all brand new receivers that have had no prior experience with Teddy Bridgewater. So it's a whole new crew that Teddy's working with. The defense obviously has a lot of new faces that they got to work in. So, you know, this was one of those teams that this preseason and this training camp was very, very important for. And not only now are you losing preseason games and losing some time on the field, but there's also a chance that you're losing roster spots. You know, there's speculation floating around, too, that you're not going to see a 90-man roster. That could get cut to maybe 80 or even 75. And for a team like the Panthers that have all these new faces and all these guys trying to fight for jobs, that's tough. You know, and obviously across the league, I mean, you cut 75 players, that's 15 players per team that aren't going to get a shot. And quick math tells you that 15 times 32 is 480. So that's 480 players, if they cut to 75, 480 players across the league that would not get an opportunity to fight for a roster spot because of the shortened roster size. And again, the fewer preseason games means those players that are on the roster that are fighting for a spot now have less of an opportunity to showcase themselves on the field in game situations, whether it's offense, defense, or even special teams. So that's going to hurt the Panthers' development a little bit because a lot of these young guys just aren't going to have the opportunity because you've got to get those veterans ready. The fact that they've had no practice time means these expected starters are going to have to get right on the field, and they're going to have to get as many reps as possible to get them game ready, right? So this hurts the young guys and those fringe players. This is going to be tough, and it's very unfortunate. Now I would be for. Now again, we do have the expanded practice squad. Keep in mind, they are expected to expand the practice squad, or at least we talked about in the past the possibility of expanding the practice squad to 16. So at least you would have about 70 players that you can carry on your roster. But again, practice reps are already limited because of. And I didn't get the chance to look into that. I don't know how they changed. I imagine it hasn't changed much in regards to practice time and how many practices you can have with full gear. Because we know, like with the last CBA, those kind of practices were very limited. So you already, these young guys already didn't have much time to prove themselves on the field. Now we multiply that. Because of no OTAs and because of potential shortened roster sizes and because of a potential shortened preseason, if we have a preseason at all. So all those undrafted free agents that the Panthers brought in, like Omar Bayless and Sam Tecklenburg and all the others, Cam Sutton, just to name a few, their chances of making the roster definitely take a hit because of this. Now, we talked about Cam Sutton for a moment, how he might have a decent shot because that third tight end spot for the Panthers is wide open behind Ian Thomas and Chris Manhertz, especially after the Panthers cut Seth DeValve, who was likely going to be that third tight end. So that third spot is open for a guy like Cam Sutton. But some of these other guys, they're going to have to work their tail off once July 21st. That's, as we touched on before, that right now is the expected plan. For rookies, they're saying July 28th is across the league when all teams report, but they're going to allow rookies and, of course, some players to report earlier. We talked about Matt Rhule's plan right now in that July 21st is when rookies will report and July 23rd is their goal for the quarterbacks and other injured players to report to camp. So from July 21st, those rookies need to hit the ground running if they want a shot at unseating some of these veterans. So without a doubt now, with how training camp is being affected, the Carolina Panthers are definitely going to be one of the more fascinating teams to follow across the entire league, I think, in regards to how quickly they're able to develop a lot of this young talent and how quickly they can get them ready for game competition. We already expect the Panthers are not going to win a lot of games. This will probably knock them back a little bit, but at least if there's a silver lining in all this, it's that they're gonna have a top 10 pick most likely again next year, so they'll get a very good player. Whether they decide to go after a quarterback, whether they go after one of the top edge rushers, I don't know if they're going to be in a position for Penei Sewell, the offensive tackle out of Oregon, but they'll get a very strong player, and then that development will just keep on going. And, there's still light at the end of the tunnel, I think, with this team, but it's kind of a small hole if you think about it. It's you could see it, but it's very far away right now, especially with this speed bump, we'll call it, or speed bumps, plural. So it's a tough situation. Obviously, every team's got to deal with it, but certainly some teams are going to be better equipped to handle it, I think, than others. And unfortunately, the Panthers right now are one of those teams that are going to be hurt by the lack of preseason and the fewer number of training camp spots. So, we'll see. It'll be fun to track, but it's going to be a unique challenge for all of us. So, here's hoping. A couple other things I want to talk about. In fact, this was an interesting story. I want to touch on Cam Newton's contract real quick in a bit. But there was also this story that came out in regards to fan attendance at games this season. And that is, apparently the league is considering a scenario now where they'll allow fans in the stadium, but they'll have to sign some kind of liability waiver for COVID-19, which that, I don't know, that would be interesting. Daniel Kaplan of SB, or Sports Business Journal, excuse me, is reporting this, and this is from his article, so I'll quote right from his article. He writes, "The NFL is considering requiring fans attending games this season to sign liability waivers, shielding the teams from COVID-19 lawsuits," sources said. "The waiver proposal is likely to be forwarded to clubs by the middle of next week as part of a broad range of league-recommended best practices for reopening stadiums amid the coronavirus pandemic. It is probably something you do electronically, just trying to figure out the operational challenges associated with the waivers," said one source familiar with plans under development by the stadium reopening working group, headed by NFL Senior Vice President of Security, Kathy Lanier. "Just have to work out how to best do that." I don't know. How would you guys feel about that? You know, if you're out there, if you're listening to this now, you know, think about this for a minute. Are you willing now to attend a Panthers game if you have to sign a liability waiver from the NFL regarding COVID-19? You know, just think about that a minute. Because I can't imagine this is going to go over too well with a lot of people. Obviously, you're going to have people that are on both sides of the fence. I mean, you know, there's obviously a lot of people that are on both sides of the fence regarding just wearing a mask, but that's a different story. This is, you know, this is obviously basically saying come to our games at your own risk. This is on top of all these teams coming out now, like the Philadelphia Eagles, the Houston Texans, the Chicago Bears, and a couple other teams have sent memos to season ticket holders that they could basically skip this season if they want to and have no penalty. They'll still have their seats for 2021. So between that and between these waivers, I mean, it's hard to figure out. You know, I think we could safely guarantee at this point that the preseason would be played without fans. The regular season is a totally different story, and my guess right now is this is going to be a team-by-team basis. I don't think the Panthers have said anything regarding that, but it feels like it's going to be a team-by-team case, you know, similar to what Major League Baseball is doing but with their fan attendance. We talked before about that, and I mentioned the San Francisco Giants have already said they're not going to have fans. The NFL will probably end up being the same thing. It's just a matter of can these teams adhere to local and state guidelines and, you know, make it safe for fans. You know, I'll give you an example. The Philadelphia Eagles, if I'm guessing right now, would probably not have fans at their stadium because Philadelphia is still a little bit, it's not as bad as it once was, but Philadelphia is still a little bit of a hot spot regarding COVID-19. And then obviously you have the three states in California, Texas, and Florida that have seen, or excuse me, Arizona, Texas, and Florida that have seen rises in cases. And oh, by the way, that's six of the 32 NFL teams in those three states. So what's going to be the risk factor here, you know, and how are fans going to handle this? You know, I'm sure there's going to be a lot of fans out there that are going to sign this waiver no problem. I mean, let's be honest. There's people out there that are still dying to go to an NFL game and will probably do whatever it takes. So there's probably people out there that will sign a waiver, not even read it. They'll just be like, hand me the paper, I'll sign it. While others, you know, they might not think it's worth it. You know, me, I mean, I don't know. I will admit I do have tickets to a game out in Pittsburgh this year. But I'm not expecting to be at that game in Pittsburgh this year. I'll be quite honest. I have a pretty decent feeling that there will not be fans at that game. And this is pretty early in the season. You know, we're talking, this is around the middle of October. Because this is week 5 that I would be going out there. So is this going to be, you know, quelled enough in 3 months for fans to go? I'm not so sure. I could definitely see a scenario at this point, you know, kind of on the flip side of the whole team-by-team thing, I could also see a scenario where the NFL just says, you know what, we're not going to have any fans. We're going to play the regular season, we're going to have all the games, but we're going to have zero fans at all these games. And the NFL is the type of league that's going to put their foot in the ground, I think, and make sure that the season starts on time. College, of course, has become a different story. You know, there's still people that think that the college season should be pushed back to the spring. In fact, we just saw the supplemental draft is going to be axed. But the NFL, they're not going to do that. They are dead set, I think, on September 10th, the night of September 10th, we are going to be watching the Chiefs against the Texans. That is the NFL's, you know, you probably talk to anybody in the NFL, that is what they're going to tell you. You are going to see the Texans against the Chiefs on the night of September 10th. So, we'll see. But like I said, just think about that for a minute. Are you willing to sign the waiver that is being floated around in some NFL circles? Sign a waiver basically saying that you will not sue the NFL or the teams if you happen to catch COVID-19. One last thing I want to talk about before we get out of here, and I mentioned it in the beginning, or a little bit before, not necessarily the beginning, but that is the details on the Cam Newton contract with the New England Patriots. And as expected, you know, as we talked about, as was kind of floated around, it is a is basically a veteran minimum for Cam Newton. It is a $1.05 million contract, which is the veteran minimum base salary for a player of his stature. But only $550,000 of that is guaranteed. He can get the remaining $6.45 million in incentives and per-game roster bonuses. That's how he could get to $7.5 million. The other interesting note about this, you know, according to Jason LaCanfora, is that there is no clause in his contract that would restrict the franchise tag next year. So in other words, the New England Patriots now have every right to slap the franchise tag on Cam Newton in 2021. And that would pay Cam Newton probably about $32 million. You know, I think Dak Prescott had about like $31 million with his franchise tag, and his was the exclusive franchise tag. But that's one of the key things to note here. So Cam Newton could have a really strong season for the Patriots, and the Patriots can just say, okay, we'll just slap the tag on you. You know, because we've seen, you know, we'll use Tom Brady as an example. In Tom Brady's contract, it says the Buccaneers cannot slap the franchise tag on him. You know, the expectation is that Brady's going to be in Tampa, obviously, for 2 years. And then after his contract expires, when he becomes a free agent, Tampa Bay cannot place the franchise tag on Tom Brady. So it would ensure that he hits free agency. That clause is not in Cam Newton's contract. So the Patriots, if they want to, can slap the tag on Cam Newton after this season. Or they could let him walk and get a third-round compensatory pick for him, which, again, as we touched on before, would basically replace the third-round pick that they are going to lose in 2000, 21 because of all the, you know, that videotaping scandal that they had. But those are the, so those are the options, and that's the contract now for Cam Newton. And again, it's still pretty crazy that the total value of his contract is $7.5 million, and that most likely involves, you know, him maybe being like active for every game, and probably you know, maybe starting some games or hitting hitting escalators or whatever you have him hitting, certain milestones during the season. So, but still, I mean, $7.5 million means he's making less than, of course, a lot of other quarterbacks, like a Marcus Mariota, like a Taysom Hill, like a Derek Carr. There's a lot of names that you could certainly argue are not at the talent level of Cam Newton, but are going to now make more money this season than Cam Newton. So obviously it's a big hit money-wise for Cam Newton, who would have made, what, about $18 million, I think, had the Panthers decided to keep him. Now he'll make, at most, $7.5 million. But again, he plays well enough, he either gets the franchise tag from the Patriots, or he gets a huge multi-year deal from another team. So this is the ultimate prove-it year for one of the ultimate prove-it players in Cam Newton. He shows he's healthy, he shows he can lead a team back, he'll get his big contract back. So he's going to be, like we've said before, he's going to be so fascinating to watch this entire season. You know, not just from a standpoint of how the Patriots are going to utilize their offense around him, but just his health and just how he can carry a team and him trying to earn that big money again. So a lot to look forward to. Again, hopefully we get a chance to see it, especially with the shortened preseason. Who knows how much Cam Newton is going to play in the preseason, and if we even have a preseason at all. So that'll be talked about later Thursday. They're going to talk about the preseason, whether they're going to shorten it to two, whether they're going to, you know, maybe they'll shorten it to one, and again, maybe they'll just cut it all together, and the next game we play will simply just be the regular season opener on September 10th. So a lot to look forward to, and we'll try to keep tabs of it all here on the podcast. But with that, I think it's a good time, good spot to wrap it up here. Thank you, as always, for spending some of your day with me. Really appreciate it. And hope to see you guys here next time on the Locked On Panthers podcast. Until then, Billy Rossetti signing off. We'll see you soon. Take care, my friends.